This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin Underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Shop Tommy John's Friends and Family Sale right now and get 25% off site-wide at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
Hello, I'm Josh Widdicombe.
And I'm Rob Beckett.
Welcome to Lockdown Parenting Hell, the show in which Rob and I discuss what it's like to be a parent during lockdown, which I would say can be a little tricky. So, in an effort to make some kind of sense of the current situation...
and to make me feel better about my increasingly terrible parenting skills...
each episode we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how well they're coping.
Or hopefully not.
And we will be hearing from you, the listener, with your tales of lockdown parenting woe.
Because, let's be honest, none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you are listening to Lockdown Parenting Hell with...
Rob... Beckett... and Josh. Widdicombe.
There you go.
Nice.
That is Stanley.
Stanley.
His parents, you may remember, Rob, friends of the show, were the parents who failed to clean their Munchkin 360.
Oh, yeah. Any new listeners, check that Munchkin out.
Check your Munchkin out. You can clean them. Stanley's now 1.5. And Rob, you will be distraught to know that that is a video and he's wearing a Barcelona kit, unlike your children.
Oh, I'm jealous. So jealous. There's two kits upstairs.
Oh, two unused kits.
I carried them around on a pub crawl.
Did you?
Yeah, because I got them on the pub crawls. I thought I won't go back past that shop. You know, like when you're pissed and you have to remember something and you really cradle it because you know that you will just forget it. I reckon I've lost every umbrella I've ever taken out.
Oh, an umbrella is a complete write-off. Give it up. It's just not possible.
Just launch it. As soon as it stops raining, pick it up and just launch it into the road.
Yeah, not a hope.
What's your week been like, Josh?
Yeah, fine. Enjoyed filling in my census.
Oh, Lou did that for me. I didn't even do mine. God knows what she put.
Yeah, well, it was interesting, Rob, because it asked me to describe my job and I wrote the word podcasting at one point. And I thought, boy, in 100 years, they'll be looking at that going, what the hell was that?
Well, do you know what's funny? I was tempted just to completely lie in the census so that when they do, like, who do you think you are in 100 years' time? And if someone I'm related to becomes famous, they'll be like, this wacky chap lived on his own in... and he did that. And just, but I didn't. Lou did it because she's sensible.
I've got big news from nursery, Rob.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Can we get some sexy music underneath, please?
Oh, you can't have sexy music for the nursery, mate.
You can, because it's news about Seren.
Oh, thank God.
Seren, the absolutely hot nursery worker.
Yeah, the hot French guy.
Do you think he could get any hotter? Well, dear parents, this was the email I received on Wednesday. I'm writing to let you know that, very sadly, our lovely Seren is going to be spreading his wings and flying the nest soon.
Ooh.
Seren, this is unbelievable, has been headhunted by an independent skate school and offered a position as a freelance skateboarding teacher working with young children in Hackney.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's a dream job for Seren, isn't it?
Isn't it?
So he's a skateboarding teacher.
He's been headhunted. He's now a skateboarding teacher to children in Hackney. He's the dream man, Rob.
What is the demand for a skateboarding teacher in Hackney?
Well, enough for that he's quit this job.
Wow, good luck to him. Good luck to him. He'll be the next Tony Hawk.
I watched a documentary on Tony Hawk on Saturday night.
Yeah, everything okay? You're right. Welcome to the Blur one. You wear out the tape.
No, we wanted to watch the documentary.
Wait, you watched Rose?
Yeah, she used to work in a skate shop. when she was younger, so she had a vested interest.
Did you like Jackass? Did you ever watch Jackass together?
I love Jackass. She used to go out with Steve O, actually.
No, do you know who did? Stacey Solomon.
What?
Stacey Solomon met Steve O on The Jump, and they dated for about a year. And then she got off with Joe Swash. What a double.
Wow. Wow. Steve O is going to make absolute mincemeat of her cupboards. All her sorted cupboards. Oh, Steve O's not going to stand for that.
Imagine Steve O seeing a bag of crisps on a peg. He'd call them potato chips anyway, but he wouldn't suffer that.
I once watched one where he was in a buggy going across a bumpy desert or field or whatever.
Yeah.
Having a tattoo.
That's not the kind of guy that's going to respect a jar with spaghetti written on it. He'll put penne in there.
He'll put penne in there. I watched a documentary on Tony Hawk. Anyway, it had nothing on it, Rob. It just came out. You said Tony Hawk. I thought, well, that's a coincidence.
Yeah, I used to play the computer game.
He kept using the word rad and he's in his 50s. I thought that was unacceptable.
Yeah, I mean, I think he might be the new Tim Westwood. I've got one story from this week, which is quite sweet and sad at the same time. My daughter keeps coming back from school. They get lunch at school, but they have a snack box thing, and we put in it like an innocent smoothie and like a little pack of like biscuity things that aren't proper biscuits, but like healthy biscuits. Anyway, she keeps coming back and she's not eating them, and like a yogurt as well. It's like, you're not hungry, don't you want it? And then she came back about 4 days in a row not eating it. We didn't think anything of it. And then on the fourth day, I said, don't you like eating that? You're not hungry at break time. She went, I am, but I just can't open it. And she's not been able to open the food and she's not allowed to ask her friends to help because of COVID and all the teachers.
Oh, my God. Oh, that is heartbreaking.
I know. Bless her. But I'm sure she'll be fine. But it'd be one of those things where the kid goes, oh, yeah, I can open it and doesn't think about it ever again. But as a parent, you're like weeping inside and start thinking about how can I break in so I can put that straw in her smoothie?
Oh, that's heartbreaking, Rob.
I know. Bless her.
Do you want some emails?
Yeah, but...
How to help Josh with his naming dilemma. Firstly, excellent job with the podcast. I count down the days to each new show. And as a new dad of a seven-month-old twins, it's keeping me just about sane.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ, mate. Also, you know, every episode, the kids will be a week older. Do you know what I mean? So it's like you're just getting through it.
Yeah.
But I don't think you should get through it. I've looked at a photo of my daughter when she was about 4 months old. I literally had no recollection of that day whatsoever. I look like I've been kidnapped. It's PTSD.
With a kid on the horizon, Rob, I keep thinking back to like, so what was it? And I have no memory of that first period. I remember the colic. I remember the screaming and listening to Mellow Magic, the late night magic radio station. While trying to get her to stop screaming, which might have been the problem in the first place.
The problem is you won't have this podcast to listen to.
I won't have this podcast to listen to.
Because then those other people can listen to this rather than magic.
I am.
And hear about it all going wrong for other people. But you're just constantly going wrong for you, and you talk about it going wrong, and you never get the payoff, Josh.
In a way, Rob, I'm quite excited about what this podcast is going to be like over the summer.
I cannot fucking wait.
You know, like when a band's released one good album and then you hear that the second album is actually better. That's the summer we're heading into. We've released this podcast has done its one good year, but I get the feeling, touch wood, that it is about to enter absolute carnage for me, which will be entertaining.
And I am praying for the hottest summer on record coupled with replacement parts for air conditioning units to be stuck in a customs nightmare at Calais.
I've decided I'm going to record lots of voice notes as it's going on because I'm not sure I'm going to remember it all. So each Tuesday and Friday, I'll just play some voice notes to try and rebuild my week in front of you.
Yes. And then we can work through it and see how we can help.
Yeah.
So, God, what's with the name situation? This is Guy with Twins.
Oh, yeah. The reason I'm writing is to help Josh with naming his new baby. Myself and my wife had the same arguments before the arrival of mine. We haven't had any arguments. Thank you very much. My wife discovered an app called Kinder, which is basically Tinder for baby names.
Well, like spelt like the egg.
Yeah, spelt like the egg.
Okay.
We downloaded it each and linked our profiles. It creates a list of names from all of your matched likes.
Oh, that's good.
That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah. And then it's not a discussion. It's just totally separate thinking.
Because what I worry about the modern world, Rob, is that there's too much chatting and not enough time spent on phones. So it's great to take this beautiful moment away from personal chat.
Yeah, forget talking together, just communicate online.
Yeah, and then why don't we bring the... If there's an app which we could bring the baby up with, that would be ideal as well.
Yeah, if there's an app that could take my wife to dinner, that'd be great. but let's clarify, it isn't Tinder for kids.
It's not Tinder for kids.
It's Tinder for kids' names. I just want to make clear that you're not expected to, you know, slide into the DMs of children to hook up for a walk. That is not what we're going for. We just want to get the names nailed down, isn't it, Josh?
Yes, that is 100%.
Just make that,
make that very clear.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, Josh and Rob. Love the podcast. I thought I'd let you know we picked our baby names. During lockdown one, we found out we're expecting babies. Yes, babies. Twins. Identical.
Oh, my God.
We often struggle to agree on names. Almost all of mine got thrown out early doors using the veto rule. Milo and Casper. As did his girl suggestions. Chelsea after his football team.
No way.
No, not at all.
No, thank you. Milo and Casper sounds a bit like, you know, when the World Cup or the Olympics has mascots and they're like weird little cartoon characters.
Milo and Casper.
It sounds like then one's a running spike and one's the track. And then he lays down and the other Milo runs over Casper.
My husband is so certain that the babies are going to be boys that he doubles down. I get to choose the girls' names. He gets to choose the boys' names.
Wow, that is a high-risk game.
I think you've got to have something you're both happy with. I don't think you can be gambling. Scan day comes. I ask the scan technician to write down the genders because lockdown means I'm alone. We open the envelope at home. It's two girls. Obviously, my husband then wanted to open a second round of negotiations.
Of course he did. Article 50's drop, mate. Gutted. Theresa May crying, handing in her resignation. We fucked it.
I had already ordered personalised hats with their names on, just in case they were girls.
Oh, so what did they go for?
Very nice names. Poppy and Violet were the names.
Poppy and Violet's much nicer. And Milo and Casper sound like a pair of annoying YouTuber twats. Hey, Milo and Casper here. So I've got this great new drone and let's see how far we can fly it before it crashes into the sea. Shut up, Milo.
Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Shop Tommy John's Friends and Family Sale right now and get 25% off site-wide at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I've got a question here as well. When we picked our names, we picked them before the child was born. Are you doing that, or are you going to wait to see the baby, Josh?
We are going to do that, though that doesn't imply that we've moved any closer to it in recent weeks.
I want to know, has anyone decided the baby's name once the baby's been born and then regretted it? Because at that moment, the woman's obviously exhausted and isn't thinking, right? She's flooded with pain and hormones and sometimes gas and air or epidurals. And, you know, that is not a great... Like, if you're making a decision on something, if you took away the fact a child was being born and you felt like you did after giving birth and someone said, what do you want for dinner tonight? You go, oh, leave it out. I can't think now. But for some reason, you pick the most important decision of your life in that moment. So people must have regretted the names they gave their kid, and then did they keep it with regret, or did they change the name like a week later after deciding when the baby was born? Because you're not thinking straight, surely, Josh?
No, I agree. I think I want to get it done, Rob. Yeah. I'm a doer.
You're an efficiency guy.
Get it ticked off.
Yeah.
Because the baby doesn't look like a thing when they're born. It doesn't matter. Like, I want to know, I'd love to get emails in. Longest, you know, people who've gone without the name. I know people that have gone 2 weeks.
2 weeks? That's a long old time. Yeah, I just want to get on with it then. No, just name it. Let's go. Let's keep this moving. Josh, it's time for our guest. It's the one and only Tom Parody.
We recorded this one a while ago, yes. Rob, but we had some technical problems with my record, which we finally fixed.
Yes.
So this Which is, it's been like gutting because it's genuinely been, it was one of the best interviews we've ever done. It's absolutely brilliant.
I'd say it's my favourite because it's a real moment in time interview where Tom's child's very, very young. And this is Tom Parry. And he's brilliant and so energetic and funny anyway, Tom. But also they are so deep in the early stages of a new first child where they're doing mad things through the night. And you'll hear his schedule in a minute. But I loved it because it really, and he thinks his life's normal. But it will look back and realise how insane right. his schedule is. But it's so refreshing hearing someone think what they're doing is fine.
We've got a lot of people that I want to rebook to see how it's getting on.
Yes.
And Tom would be right at the top of the list. I wonder whether when do we turn a year old? Maybe we should do a few anniversary recaps.
Yes, because I think we need to speak to Daisy May Cooper again because she has two children now, which would be great, especially for you with your second on the way.
Oh, yeah. And I think we need to speak to Alice and Izzy.
Yeah. If there's anyone else you think we should check in on, let us know. But this is Tom Parry episode, and we've got some other great ones in the can. So yeah, we've got some excellent ones coming up. But this is a cracker. And yeah, it's one of my faves. Hello, Tom Parry.
Hey, dude. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Am I the newest parent you've had on? I'm 6 weeks into being a parent.
Oh, yes, you are.
Yes, so here I am. Yes, yeah, so I've got to admit, I haven't listened to the podcast because I have just become a parent. So it didn't apply to me until now. I've just come off my, I'm on a night shift at the moment. So I had, I've got a 6-week-old daughter. I had her till 5. And then I woke up about half an hour ago, so this feels like it's 8 o'clock in the morning for me.
Right
now.
So what are you doing in the early hours of the morning for those night films?
Oh, I did the Tom Hanks Da Vinci Code trilogy. absolutely scraping the barrel. The first, I don't know. I don't know if you guys are the same, but like when my daughter's called Gloria, when she first came along, I was like, I'm going to watch all the best films with you. I'm going to talk you through all the best films. It's going to be like rediscovering cinema. So I sat for the first week watching my favourite films. But by now, I've just run out of films to show her. So it's just any old shit. We'll stick any old shit on.
So what's Gloria doing when you're watching these films? Does she wake
sleeps.
Up?
But she sleeps really well on someone at the moment. And it's like, we can put her in this. We've got this beside me cot and we can put her in that, but we get less. Jane gets less sleep because she's up and down. So instead, like I get 3 hours kip in the evening, and then I kind of get into this like night shift. and then like every 3 or 4 hours, I take her up for a feed and come back down.
Yeah,
but I am absolutely loving it. I feel like a student again because it's like I'm staying up all night. You can eat whatever you like. I watched. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning, and you're like, I'm going to bang on a Kevin Costner film. You just think, oh, I haven't done this. I haven't done this since university. Oh, God, absolutely loving it.
Right, let's be clear. What hours are you keeping? I want to know your shift pattern.
About half 10, 11 till 5. That's kind of the shift on. So I get 3 hours before that. I go to bed at about 7, get as much sleep as I can in the evening. Then I get up at about 10. Then I'm on the night shift. I try and get through till 5. Yeah.
I'm so
sleep deprived. I feel like I'm on drugs. It's like I feel like it's the final day of Glastonbury. It's just like every day it's just got like this gentle hum to it where I feel like I'm like slightly buzzing off my face because I just haven't had any sleep. It's amazing. And then the other thing I do is I watch BT Sports. I really want to work on a show that's like New Dad Sport Report because I end up watching. The other day I cried at an Australian rules football game. I didn't know who was playing. but it was just like, I don't know the rules of the game. It's like there was like a last minute win and it was just like, oh, wow, the magic of sport, Glow. Gloria, this is what live sport's all about. But it's just like, I didn't have a fucking clue what was going on. It's amazing. When she sleeps, she's just fast asleep, and I just talk to her. I don't know if you remember the early days, because you're how old are yours now? How old are you?
Oh, 5 and 3.
She's 3.
Oh,
you're through this bit, aren't you? Because like
Tom, this isn't a normal thing that all parents go through. We're not all sat up watching Fast and Furious till 5 a.m.
There's a critical phase where I've got one of those donut pillows. Well, Jane has. It's one of Jane's donut pillows. There's been several occasions now where Gloria, because like I've put on a lot. I mean, I'm always a bit overweight, but I've put on a lot of weight in lockdown, right? I haven't weighed it, but I'll tell you this how much, right? I had to do a day's filming the other day, and it was supposed to be filming in February. Yeah. And I'd given my costume measurements and I went in and they said, so you said you were 36 waist? And I said, yeah, but I think I'm probably 38 now. So they gave me 38 and I didn't fit 38. I've been proper dad eating. So I've put on weight. And now, Gloria, there's nothing worse than when your baby daughter stirs on you and I've got enough breasts for her to think that there's milk in there. So the other night, she properly started trying to have a go at my nipple because she figured there might be some milk in there.
And was there any milk in there? Did she strike gold?
Well, skin on skin's very important, Josh. They preach that. They preach. I don't know if it was that back in your day, but skin on skin is essential for bonding, not just for the mother, but also for the father. That's what they say.
Yeah, that's what they say. There's got to be a cut-off date. There's got to be a cut-off date, though, isn't there?
Yeah, I don't know when. I'm not going to pick her up from school topless.
Yeah. Yeah, quickly. I'll drive you home because you're waiting to do your driving lesson. He's at the house.
When she graduates, I'll have the old top round the head.
Exactly. You need it just to get your head in the game for A-levels. You know, it's good for your development.
Piggybacking into school, skin on skin. So I'm holding her. I hold her in like a cradle type setup, and then there's a critical stage where I get her. I let go of her and put her onto the donut pillow that's around me, so that I can have both hands free.
Yeah.
And that's like the pivotal. Because if she doesn't wake when I do that, then I know I'm in for a good 3 hours.
A good 3 hours just to yourself at night on your own, in a way. I'm starting to get slightly jealous of your routine.
Oh, I've got like a routine. That's the thing you crave. As long as you've got some kind of system, then you can kind of get through. You know, it doesn't feel like chaos. So like I have two flasks. I have one for my, I have a flask for my right hand and a flask for my left, just in case. Right?
How much? You sound like one of them like 50 stone men that don't move and just because they've got like elasticity around them.
Yeah, yeah, that's how I feel. I have a flask for the left hand, flask for the right, in case I it depends on what side I've got.
So what's in the flask?
That's water. And then I've got a thermos pint mug of coffee. Thermos pint mug of coffee. That stays warm for a good hour and a half. Right? So that's in front of me. And I have two satsumas and a biscuit. Right? Two satsumas and a biscuit. And then that's me then set up.
I can get carrot, pint of milk.
I can get till 5 o'clock on that. And then, but like, it's only when I know she's entered into deep sleep, like when both of her hands have come up by the side of her head. When she gets into deep sleep, both her arms come up like she's celebrating. And like, that's when you know she's deep sleeping. That's when I can go for the crinkly wrapper.
Yeah, okay. You could be a bit more adventurous.
Yeah, because I've done that a bit too early back in the day. No, that's no good. Too early for the crinkly wrapper.
There was a stage where when mine was so small that I could cradle her in my arms still and play FIFA. I could get the controller in my hand and while still holding her, and that was a great moment. But then when she got a bit too big for that, it was terrible. But that was a great couple of weeks.
And you have to temper your celebrations, I bet.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to turn the vibration off the controller, just like, you start getting shot at and your arms go...
So you go to bed at 7 p.m. and then what happens at 10 p.m?
Jane comes and gets me, because sometimes she'll go a bit later, she'll be able to get to 10:30 or sometimes but she comes and gets me.
So there's this point where you're both up together and she's passing the baton like a kind of baby relay race.
Yeah, that's the transition period. Yeah. So Jane sits with Gloria and then I get myself set up. The flasks go in first, the satsumas. Then while the coffee's on the go, then I finish the coffee, come in. Sometimes I'll have a hot meal then. So like I'll either have a Pizza Express pizza, which is hot, they're half price at the moment, which is absolute jackpot for me. Pizza Express pizza's half price at this stage in my baby's life is absolute jackpot.
Such an easy thing to eat quick as well.
Yeah, and I've got cocky as well. I've started putting a fried egg on the Florentina. They've done a Fiorentina, right? Again, perfect timing. So sometimes I'll fry an egg and bang it on top of the Fiorentina, treat myself.
That's nice. And what are you watching the films on? Is it headphones or are you having it loud in the room when they're deep sleep?
So depending on the film, I'll use subtitles because if it's...
so you're watching in silence?
If it's got a bit of action. No, just like small amount of volume. But like, for example, The Da Vinci Code, there's a lot of exposition. I needed subtitles. But like... It depends. Like, I'm picking my films kind of to do with, like, if there's too many gunshots and stuff, then I won't watch it.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, that's, you know, I've been doing quite a bit of, like, some sports films are good. And, I like, you know, you think about, like, I've been choosing, I think there's a reason I've been watching Tom Hanks films and Kevin Costner films. It's kind of like, their voices are kind of quite, I think they're quite healthy voices for Glow to be hearing at this stage in a development. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hi, it's Stephen Colbert. And I'm here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is the podcast of The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert. And I'm here with my producer of the podcast, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Stephen.
So what do people get when they listen to The Late Show Pod Show? Let's sell this thing.
The extended moments, for sure. Because we run out of time for broadcast, but we have plenty of time on the podcast.
It's kind of like being a live audience member of the show because you get things that no one else hears. Listen to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Well, we were at this stage early on where like she just wouldn't go to sleep without being near one of us like this. So we was doing shifts. And I remember once, so when we had our first, I was recording Taskmaster and I was on a tour that I was driving myself to and from. So I remember I drove to Cardiff, did a show, drove back from Cardiff, got home at 1 a.m. And as I walked through the door, Lou just gave me the baby and went, I'm going to sleep. I'll take her back at 6 a.m. And I was just holding this baby. I just thought, this is going to be bad. This is
absolutely brutal.
Yeah, I know. And I was just like, but Lou, you know, had her all day. And I was like, I've just driven to and back from Cardiff. And I've got to get up in the morning and try and get to a microwave without walking, because Alex Thorne thinks it'll be funny. It was that PTSD where I just can't even remember that period of my life.
Yeah, it's a blur, isn't it? I think the key to why I'm enjoying it so much is, like, I know lockdown's been tough for a lot of people, but it's been absolute perfect time to have a baby.
Yeah.
Like we didn't plan getting pregnant. It was like a surprise. It was a surprise. I'm not going to use the word accident. It was a surprise.
Yeah, you've already known her 9 months, haven't you?
Yeah. And so we found out at the end of January that we were pregnant. And then obviously lockdown and all, everything went mental. Yeah. And it was a perfect time for Jane to be pregnant because she was like furloughed and not having to leave the house. And then lockdown lifted a little bit when she was in her third trimester. And then baby came along and we got into second lockdown. And it's pretty amazing because we can't go anywhere. So we would have been in this lockdown stage anyway. And crucially, I tell you, one of the big things is people can't come round and visit us, which from like a few of my friends who've had a baby before have said, like, that's the real ball ache, is when you've barely slept and people turn up and be like, let's see the baby.
Make them tea and all that.
Yeah, but we're like on lockdown. So you just kind of go, oh, it's fine.
Drop stuff at the front door and fuck off. I want dinners. I want movies. I want presents for the kid, but I don't want you. Get out of my house. But you can't say that, can you?
You've got these people coming around and they've had a full night's sleep and we're meant to stay up. We're meant to make them tea. It's unbelievable.
Absolutely. That's right. But yeah, that's it. Like the naps, if anyone messes with your nap, then it's kind of critical. So it's like that. Yeah. So it's been sweet being on lockdown, really.
So what work are you doing? Are you managing to do much work in the day, Tom? Or is it just odd bits of filming here and there?
Well, obviously I get to bed at 5. I'll do 3 hours. Then I'll get to bed 5 o'clock and sleep till 9. Like, you know, or half 8.
Do you fall asleep okay?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, mate. Like a light piece of piss. And I'm next to the changing table as well. So the setup in our bedroom is like beside me cot on Jane's side and changing table on my side. Because like that was like, we were kind of planning it out and we were like, I'll probably be doing the nappy changing and you'll be doing the feeding. So let's have the beside me cot on your side and the nappy on my side. But like the problem with that now is like I get to bed at 5 and I get into bed and then Jane's got Glow and she's a bit more stirry at that time in the morning. And so I have a lot of changing action going on next to me when I'm having my sleep. That's the yeah. only bit where it's a bit tough.
That's the drawback.
That's a lot of stuff in one room.
yeah. But we're not in our own house at the moment. We're basically
where are you? What's the setup?
We moved in with my mother-in-law in February to get through like lockdown in this year. So I'm in Exeter.
In my
mother-in-law's house.
How are you so happy? how's it been? All right. Like, you know, cut the shit. Talk to me.
It's been. I'm trying to think who's going to listen to this. It's been intense, but it's been all right. That's what I'd say.
And that's fair, though, because even if you've got the best relationship ever, it's that difference in of opinions and, like, it's like anything, isn't it? Everyone's got the same goal of, like, keep the baby happy and healthy and sleeping and stuff, but everyone does stuff in different ways, don't they?
And exactly.
And it's frustrating. Have you tried? At the moment, I go to bed at 7 for 3 hours and I'll stay up till 5 and then go to bed again. So, do you think I might have thought this may not be the ideal scenario? Do you think I'm doing this because it's the second best option? Mummy!
But it must be good, though, having that support network there for you and Jane, right?
Yeah.
Because Rose's mum helped out with our daughter and it makes a huge difference.
You know, like when they say that TV chefs don't really do their own cooking? They've got like a home economist who does it all for them, really, for the cameras. That's how I feel like me and Jane are like having like the kind of on camera kind of parenting experience where we're spending all the time with Glow, but like Thelma's just been she's been cooking the meals, she's been doing the laundry, and it's like that. I mean, like fucking the muslins, the amount of muslins we've been getting through where we were expecting, like everyone kept buying us muslins and we were kind of like, we get it, okay, thanks, yeah, we've got quite a lot of muslins now, and then people kept buying us muslins and like it was like, okay, yeah, muslins, but fuck me, you need those muslins. And like, no, I don't know how I've ever lived my life without muslins. I'm like, why do people just wait until babies come along to use muslins? They're fucking amazing. Like you spill something, bang a muslin on there. You're just like fucking dribbling. Want to wipe your hands, get a fucking muslin, chuck it away. They're fucking incredible shit. I don't know, I haven't had it all my life. But there's a constant stream of muslin washing going on. So like, and yeah, Thelma's been
it does help, doesn't it? All that stuff. Then you could just focus on the baby and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But we are operating based. So look, because we didn't want to intrude on Thelma's house too much. Like, obviously, we've got our bedroom, and then there was a downstairs room that Thelma wasn't using. So we've turned that into like our little den. So that's where I do like. You know, my movie marathons and the
night shift. Right. So you go down into that room.
So space is a bit of a premium. Like we're operating out of two rooms, really.
Oh.
So what's the plan then, Parry? When are you going to move out?
Oh my God, you sound like my dad.
The plan.
Oh, bloody hell. I wasn't expecting this from you, Josh.
Because you're buying a house, aren't you? I mean, having a baby and buying a house in lockdown, that must be stressful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had the offer accepted 2 days before Jane went into labour. Yeah, and we were trying to resist Jane being induced. Jane wanted as natural birth as possible, and it was a mad time because they kind of put this thing on you where they say monitor the movements of the baby, and if they change, then tell us. And so like. Jane said, the movements have changed. They've softened, but there's still a lot of movements. And they were like, right, we're going to induce you now. And Jane was like, well, no, I'm not due yet. And I want to wait. And they were like, we're going to induce you. And like everything we'd read said, like, look, they're super keen to induce you. You don't have to do that if you don't want to. So Jane said to the doctor, I don't want to be induced. I'm going to wait. And they effectively said, well, on your head be it. Kind of thing. Ooh. And we were so obviously we were freaking out because Jane knew she was doing the right thing because she could tell the baby was healthy and she didn't want to induce, but like the doctors were really it was weird amount of pressure. So we had this week where Jane had said no to an induction and I was supporting that decision, but like
it's a tough to not support your wife's decision when you live with her mum.
Yeah, exactly. Well, of course,
guys, I know we're all discussing stuff. I know it's your house, Thelma. I've got a few ideas. Let's sit down and talk.
It's your house, it's your body, but I want to talk, all right? It's your house, it's your body, but it's my opinion, all right, everyone? So like, Jane had a phone call from the hostel saying, from a midwife who said, look, we really think you should come in for this induction. Jane said, stood her ground and said no. And then put the phone down and burst into tears and was like, literally like the emotion was like, what if I'm killing our baby by doing this?
Yeah,
and then my phone went and I answered it. And the estate agent, it sounds like I'm exaggerating. Jane was on the bed in tears. My phone went, I answered it. My estate agent went, great news. I said, what? The offer's been accepted on your house. And I was like, it's a lean, put it this way, it's a lean year anyway. So like this, trying to get this offer on this house is like by hook or by crook anyway. And on some mornings I'm like, am I going to be able to afford this? So like, that's already a source of stress. He went, great news, you've got the house. And I was just like, oh, okay. Oh God, okay. Can I call you back? So then like, so 2 days later, Jane went into labor and then we had Glow. It's only about 5 days after that. And then someone emailed me saying, we need some papers from you, that I kind of realised we bought a house. I'm like, oh, God. Oh, yeah, we bought a fucking house, didn't we? It's just like, oh, God. It feels like everyone bought a house in Exeter during lockdown, so an Exeter can't cope. Like, Exeter's just like, the people in Exeter are like, oh, my God, we need at least 3 months to process all of this. Like, it seems like that was the knee-jerk reaction of, like, 40% of London was like, yes. Oh, this, I'm going to go and live in Exeter. I've never felt more like I'm having a breakdown. Like, literally. And this is from a guy who sits awake with two flasks and two satsumas next to him. But, like, we went on honeymoon, spent all our money. In January, we spent all our money on honeymoon. And thinking, that's great. Well, don't worry, I've got some work coming up and everything will be fine. So we got back to London, absolutely broke. But on the last day of honeymoon, we found out we were pregnant. And I was like, ah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's okay. We have just spent all our money, but that's okay. And then the pandemic happened and we just moved flat. So we moved into a new flat in Crystal Palace. We've been there 2 months. And then the pandemic happened and all my live work just disappeared. And Jane's job went, they sacked her. Jane had just told them that she was pregnant. And then the pandemic happened and then they were like, you're still on probation. And this has happened. So Jane lost her job. All my work disappeared. My God. And we were pregnant, and it was just like, what do we do now? We thought lockdown was coming. It was like that time when no one really knew what lockdown was going to be. There was talk, yeah. Like genuinely, Jane was getting text messages saying, from a lawyer friend saying, there's going to be armed, there's going to be tanks on the street, or shit like this. We were like, what the fuck? So we went to visit Jane's mom in Exeter for like one final kind of, just to see her. Lockdown was about like a week away, they said. And we went to visit Jane's mom for one final time. And like on the drive back from Exeter, we got in the car and I said, here's the thing, right? Hypothetically, there is a world where we could move to your mom's house for like this year. And like it started out as an idea. By the time we got out the car, we called our landlord and said, like, we want to get out of the flat. And like it was like this kind of like immediate spur of the moment decision that I didn't really stop to think about. Then within 2 days, I'd driven Jane back to Exeter because I didn't, again, it was like this thing of her being newly pregnant in London when the pandemic was starting. And it was like, what is this? How yeah. dangerous, what is this? And I was like, and so I did feel like, I'd driven to Exeter. I drove to Exeter and back like four times in 5 days, I think, or 6 days, something like that. And like the final time, it was with a van and I just loaded all our stuff into the van. And it was the day, they announced lockdown. So I announced lockdown, and I was leaving London. And I've never felt more like, well, like I was in a fucking like disaster movie or something. Like, so like it was mental. And then I arrived, and it was like we had this period of like, are we going to fit in? You know, like that, you know, Jane's mom. It's not like she lives in a country estate. It's so funny the amount of people from London where you go, we've moved to Exeter, and they say, God. Must be so nice to be in the country. So nice to be in the country. It's like Jane's mom lives in a council estate in Whipton. It's like, but I don't correct people because like they, for some reason, you say to anyone in London, oh, we moved to Exeter for lockdown. They're like, oh man, that must be so great. Countryside, the coast. And it's like, I'm looking out the window thinking, fucking hell, it's not that, mate. It would have been mental trying to do it in London, the position we were in. And so you just think, well, why not?
Yeah, it's nice to have the help as well with the baby. Like, you know, it's like you say, like the first baby and in the middle of lockdown, it's much to be, you have that support network there for Jane.
That's it. Yeah, well, that's it. Because my family are all in Wolverhampton and then Jane's mom's in Exeter. And so we would have been like properly isolated, really, in Southeast London. Like, we got mates.
So is Jane doing breastfeeding, did you say, Tom?
Yeah, so Jane's...
So what do you do when she's hungry on your shift and you take her up for a breastfeed? What do you do in that time? Do you sit with her or do you get asleep? Do you eat? Is that a big moment in your shift for you?
Yeah, it's quite critical, really, because you can't sleep. Because if you doze off while the breastfeeding's going on, then it's very hard to get back into the zone afterwards.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, like, I want to preface this by saying this was before the Queen's Gambit came along, which makes me sound like a real knob. But at the start of lockdown in February, I got really into online chess. Me and my old uni mate used to play online chess. So like we were like, let's get back into that. So I've been playing chess all year. So when I'm starting to feel really tired on the night shift, I go on chess.com and you can have these kind of like intense speed games with strangers. So sometimes I'll do that. So last night I was playing this guy from Argentina and he's cropped up a few times. I think me and him are online at the same time, about 3 o'clock.
That's because it's daytime there.
Yeah, no, that's why he keeps beating me. That's probably why. So, like, if I'm feeling like when I give Gloria to Jane and she's having the feed, I'll probably start a game of speed chess to kind of just keep me sharp until I get her back. So, like, last night, I was at this pivotal moment and my clock was really running down. I was, like, into my final 4 minutes and Gloria woke up and I looked at her and I was like, oh, no, not now. Not now, mate. And obviously she wakes up and then you have this kind of grace period of like 3 or 4 minutes where she's just looking around and it's really nice. But it's once the tongue starts coming out, that's the sign that she needs food. And it's like, once that happens, you're on a ticking clock. Because it's like, once the tongue comes out, if you don't get to the boob within like 4 minutes or so, then there's going to be screaming abdabs. So the tongue started coming out and I was just like, oh God. And I did again, like the clock was ticking down on this chess game. The tongue was coming out and she needed a nappy change. Oh, no. It's just like, oh my fucking God. Because like that again, like that's the system, is like you get her up, you change her, then you give it to Jane. We've been operating. Did you have like a red light? We read somewhere NCT told us if you have a red light in the room, then it feels like the womb. So like she stays calm. So we bought this red lamp.
What, so that anyone looking at the house from outside thinks it's a brothel?
Yeah. Also, Tom, I think we should start looking at things that might make you feel calmer. Because at the moment, this red aquarium you're in, playing chess.
I feel like I'm in a David Fincher movie.
Yeah. I think it's good to put your kid first, but, you know, self-care's important as well, Tom.
That's good advice, Matt. That's good advice.
I'm okay. I've got my flask and my Satsuma.
I've had a thermos pint of coffee.
You're not going to evacuee. Send down to the police line. Bed at 7. Get out.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. I'm slightly worried. Like, at the moment, it all feels like we've done exactly the right thing. But I think once... In fact, the vaccine, when they announced the vaccine, I was like, oh, God, that's going to be the end of it. Because, like... Yeah, I'm quite nervous when things go back to normal and I'm in Exeter. I'm like, oh God, what have I done?
What I would say though is you're better off being in Exeter with someone that can do the childcare so that you can go out and have days out with Jane when we're allowed to, than being in London with no one where you're so near to the fun, but you can't enjoy it. But Exeter is a great place to go out. I love Exeter.
Yeah, it feels amazing. And like, it, you know, when the week before, when we were waiting for the baby to come, like we'd get in the car, drive 20 minutes and we'd be on the beach. We'd walk along the beach, pop back home, we'd go to Dartmoor and stuff. And it's like, I just think, you think about a childhood and I just think we'd glow. I just think every weekend it'll be like, we can go to the beach, we can go to the boards, we can be like, it's an absolutely beautiful place. So I must admit, I'm really excited. I never saw it coming. Like I've been completely blindsided by this whole year. Like if I went back.
I mean, it'd be a bit weird if you did see this year coming.
Yeah, we're not.
He's just bought, he's just sunk all his money into Pfizer in the stock exchange. He's just bought a PPE company. What's PPE? Well, what we'll do is when we do a live tour of Lockdown Parenting Hell, we'll do a show in Exeter, and you could be our guest, Tom, and then you can take us out on the night out and show Absolutely. Us your new land.
Yeah, I love that.
So since you're the newest parent we've spoken to, Parry, have you got any tips for anyone that's had a baby in lockdown?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really interesting, isn't it, parenting tips? Because ultimately, I mean, I don't want to sound like a blokey bloke here, but like I am really taking my lead off Jane, because if Jane's happy, Gloria's happy. And so it's really interesting because...
You're crying at Aussie Rules football, you know. You know, you're fine. Aren't you?
It's like, you know, that's all that matters, really.
Yeah.
So it's interesting when your mates come through and say, like, oh, have you tried this or this or this? I feed that back to Jane and be like, oh, have we tried, like, what's the swaddling, for example? Like,
yeah.
Crosby's big on swaddling. Yeah, he bought me a swaddle before Gloria yeah. arrived and was like, ah, swaddling, mate, swaddling's the way forward. And I was like, oh, Jane, this is exciting. We can do some swaddling. And Jane was like, not sure about swaddling. And so like, I'm like, oh, yeah. So it kind of ends there, really. And then, like, you know, the other day I talked to Crosby about, like, my night routine and stuff, and he was like, have you tried that swaddling? And I was like, yeah, I might get swaddling again. But, like, I don't want to get into a bun fight about swaddling. You know what I mean?
I would say, though, you and Matt Crosby are very different people, so I imagine the children you breed will be very different too.
That's it. I think, like, parenting advice and relationship advice are the two things that just don't really translate. You just, like, you know, like, you can't, you can see them, like, oh, well, I did this, and you're like, oh, well, that's good for you, mate. But you can, you know, like, that's kind of like, that's it. Exactly. Like, my brother's about to have a baby, and I'm trying to stop myself from giving too much of, because, like, you know, you do feel like you're in a position to give it, but, like, you don't.
When do you feel like that? When you're holding your both flasks in the red glow with your biscuit satsuma and a fried egg on a pizza? Is that the...
I think I'm absolutely nailing this.
To be fair, though, I think the key thing is, if you're all enjoying it and the baby's happy and healthy, then that you are nailing it, and you sound a lot different to a lot of my friends that have got a 6-week-old baby. So I think you're doing it right, Tom.
Thanks, buddy.
Now, Rob always likes to ask the same question at the end of each interview. Rob?
Well, yeah, it was more to, you know, is there anything that Jane does, parenting-wise, that frustrates you and annoys you a little bit? But because it's all a bit tense, you can't really bring it up without there being a row. But if you were to mention it on the show and she heard and then changed what she did, because I'm sure she's got things that you do, then is there anything you want to get off your chest at the moment?
Oh, my God, this is a great idea for a feature. This is...
And
this
you know, it's just a little thing that you just think, oh, I wish she didn't do that, but you can't say or it'll kick off.
Yeah, so basically, so Jane loves dogs, right? And I'm not really a dog person, but she loves dogs. She stops and talks to dogs in the street all the time. And I end up talking to the dog's owner, because, like, she'll be down there talking to the dog. Me and the dog owner are just kind of like...
How old's yours?
Yeah, I'm like, literally, that's why I go, oh, how long you had the dog? And they go, yeah, however long. And I go, that's great. No, but when Jane is petting a female dog, she'll often use this voice and this intonation. She'll say, good girl, like that, good girl, good girl. And she uses that with Gloria sometimes. Oh. So when Gloria burps, she'll say, good girl. And I, in my head, I'm like, she's not a dog. You know, like... You know, like when the pressure cooker. Like, I'll know when I've snapped, it'll be when I actually say those words. She's not a dog. because I've heard that phrase and that tone with so many dogs. Like, good girl, good girl. And so yeah, Gloria will, like, latch on and start feeding, and Jenna say, good girl, good girl. And that's all. That's it. It's, don't talk to our daughter like she's a dog. that's the voice.
It's so funny. Whenever we ask people that, everyone goes, oh, God, I don't know. Oh, I can't think. And then immediately have one.
Yeah.
You mentioned it to her?
No. But I think, I do think she's going to listen to this, though.
Good girl. Good boy. I mean,
good girl. Good girl.
Did she ever say good boy to you? Good boy. Good boy. No.
It's getting a bit too personal now, Rob.
Sorry, Tom. Yeah. Wait till you move out the mother-in-laws before I ask that question. We may have to get Jane on just to see the other side of this. And the interview could start with, yeah, I'm a bit worried about him.
Yeah. Is this an intervention?
Thanks so much, Tom. That was brilliant. So fun.
Oh, cheers, gents. What a
cheers,
pleasure.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks,
bye.
Mate. Bye.
Thank you, everyone, for listening.
See you next time.
See you on Tuesday.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye.